This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I will be joined by the one and only Danny Baker. We have a guest on this week, Stevie Christopherou. He'll be joining us in a minute as we talk all things Wimbledon. But first off, let's introduce my first guest, the ever-present Danny Baker. Hello, mate, you all right?
The season ticket holder. How you doing, Lee, all right?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thanks, mate. Not bad. A bit under the weather, but I'm working like 7 days a week, 24/7.
I went and watched Wimbledon and Charlton yesterday. But yeah, getting away from that, the Grand National, Lee, is on Saturday. Yep. Are you a avid GG backer? Do you do the Grand National? And if you do, what's the kind of process to pick?
I am a very good horse backer. I like literally just I've won fortunes on horses.
Have you? Really?
I taught, there's a guy you might know him, Gary Saxby. I taught Gary Saxby everything he knows regarding horses. But the weights and everything, he didn't have a clue, like soft ground, hard ground. Yeah, the man was clueless before he met me, and then I talked to him.
How big is your swimming pool and your like in your sort of hot tub and that? How big is it, Lee?
Well, I live in Southend, overlooking the beach, mate. So yeah,
you've got the whole ocean, mate. That's what you've got, pal.
It's not an ocean, mate. It's an estuary. You know what I mean? It's the Thames estuary.
It's more than my puddle I've got outside.
But yeah, anyway, going back to the Grand National before start talking about the Southend Riviera. Yeah, I love it. Because the Grand National, you can't look at form. Form goes out the window.
So it's either
done on names, like your kid's name will come up, like, or colours, like you'll see a blue and yellow and you think, I'll back that. Or you'll just throw a dart at the board and then you think. And the thing I hate about it the most is like, if my missus threw a dart at the board and picks one and it wins, and then she's like, oh, look at me, I won. It's like, yeah, you got lucky. And then she don't stop gloating about it, mate. It does my head in.
Well, I normally... My granddad, bless him, he kind of had like a formula when it was like nobody under 100-1, you get rid of them, you get rid of the top two favourites, get rid of them to get a bit of value, and then it's all on weights and ages and stuff. Now, my dad will know it, I don't, but I did. When Wimbledon played Sunderland, and I mean, well, the year we got relegated, bless us, there was the Grand National was on, it was Papillon was the winner. And I said to my dad, I love the film Papillon with Steve McQueen, and I said, Dad, put like 20 quid on Papillon, 50-1, back it, it will do great. And my dad was like, yeah, no problem. Got up, went out to Sunderland, went all the way to Sunderland. I think it was, do you remember
all the
when
way,
used
yeah?
to be at half-time?
You didn't go half the way. You went all the way to Sunderland.
I went all the way. I didn't stop.
All the way. Yeah.
And they basically, at half-time, it used to be at 4 o'clock, you'd watch it at half-time. Yeah. It won. I went mental because
the odds
were only 10-1. Dad never backed it. I had £1,000 sitting there waiting. Dad didn't back it. So I'll be looking with Mrs. Baker, looking for names, looking for yellow and blue. And then just basically
that kind of goes out the window though, because I think the last few races the favourites won. So
yeah, I know, but it's just this.
Also,
40 people field back in the favourite.
This is why we're winning on Saturday, because every time the Grand National's on, we usually do all right.
Apart from Sunderland away when we lost, yeah.
No, but recently as AFC Wimbledon, I think we beat Cambridge on Grand National Day. We've beaten a few teams on Grand National Day, so. Oh,
and we're playing them on Saturday. So okay. I think
we're going to win. But anyway, let's get our guest on. I don't know if he's old enough to bet on the Grand National. He only looks about 15.
Definitely so. Handsome enough. Look at him.
Stevie, how are you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Are you
a Grand Nationaler? Do you back the Grand National, Stevie?
No, I'm only 16. I don't know. I think, is it 18 betting age? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's only a puppy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... But be 16 again. Dan, that must be some years on you, isn't it?
What's 16? Yeah. Only the five or six, maybe.
The old rationing back in them days, wasn't he?
Rationing, yeah. I remember, actually, when Croydon was actually Croy apostrophe Don. But, yeah, way back when. But what? 16? When were we 16? That was that the year we got relegated or the... No. No, for me, 16 was the year before we got relegated. AFC, watching Wimbledon and obviously going around all the games, Premier League, Old Trafford, Highbury, Stamford Bridge.
To Cove.
Oh, what glory days of that.
But anyway, we crack on, boys, and we'll discuss this weekend's fixtures. We obviously lost to Sheffield Wednesday, an absolute bitter pill to swallow with a last-minute goal, which we should have defended better. I thought we played extremely well. I thought we looked better defensively. First 15 minutes, when they went 1-0, I thought, here we go again. It's going to be a nightmare. And then we looked better. We looked better defensively. We looked sounder in midfield. Just up front again. I still say that we're a decent striker, and we'll go on about it later when we talk about the process and relegation. But I still think we're a striker away from being a decent League One team.
Stevie, what do you reckon out of Charlton and Sheffield Wednesday would have been an amount of points that you'd have been happy with?
Probably like two or three, like either draw for both or a win for one.
So you think that out of those two games, we were a little bit under where we needed to be?
Yeah, because Charlton's 100% beatable. Like we've done it before. We can prove that we can beat them. So it's like I think we can beat them. Yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it? I mean, the Sheffield Wednesday game was frustrating because, as you said, Lee, we kind of were not particularly in it. And then we obviously got the goal and then we grew in confidence. We had the Asau one-on-one is going to haunt me forever. He got, I don't know if you watched much of it, but he got played through and he was one-on-one with a keeper and he was well clear. And he, again, I mean, Bailey Peacock Farrell, how is he playing in League One, by the way? But great save. And again, unfortunately with us, you just knew we wouldn't have the bottle to keep it out. But there's definitely a new manager bounce. I think it was clear that Bowen was making us a bit more harder to beat, but just lacked the confidence at the end, unfortunately.
See, that sounds a funny one with me because he smashes in the foot like the equaliser and it's a great finish. Well done by Zach Robinson to get like through. What a ball from Will Nightingale as well to get through. Right. Zach does really well, puts it on a plate for him, Sal scores. The other chance, I don't think it's as easy as people are making out, comes to him pretty quick. He's under pressure and I think he tries to put it through. If you look at it, there's another angle from behind him, he tries to put it through the keeper's legs and he just doesn't hit it well enough and the keeper saves it. But yeah, if that goes in 2-1, we win away to Sheffield. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we'd have won that game then. And it's 3 points on the board. We pick up a point against Charlton and we're flying. Go on, Stevie. What do you need to say, mate?
Yeah, I was just saying on the topic of Asau, he's like towards the start of the season, he wasn't like the best player. I think he was underperforming for his standard, but I think gradually through the season, it's like started to pick up a bit. And as the teams got worse, he's kind of like got better, but it kind of like cancels out, and it's just like not as good for the team.
Go on, Lee.
I've got a point regarding Asau. Is, you know, last year when he jumped on the scene kind of thing, and that was during Ramadan, which means when he was fasting. He's fasting now. He's fasting now. So hopefully we get the Asau from last season who scored, what, 2 or 3 against Accrington away and we beat him 5-1 and he's absolutely flat. He does look like he's had a kick up the butt a little bit and he looked better against Charlton, I thought. And I think with regards to Sheffield Wednesday, we'll come on to Charlton later, but regards to Sheffield Wednesday, I thought he looked better. We didn't really play two up front, we played him in kind of a hole.
Yeah.
And we left Zach Robinson to roam. So with him being in that hole, instead of out wide or anything, I think he just he could go free roll and just do what he wanted. I think that suits him so much better.
I think I definitely think Asau is much better off the ball, without the ball, than he is with the ball. And the amount of times that you see him sort of hunt and harass and nick a ball here, he is an absolute nightmare, particularly centre-backs who want to take a touch and they're a bit ponderous. I think Asau is fantastic. I think full credit to Zach Robinson. I don't think he's anywhere near the finished article. He's absolutely not going to be the guy that will fire the goals to keep you up, but he's worked really, really hard. It's just interesting with Sheffield Wednesday, a good side. You just felt that it was a classic example of seasoned pros versus kids, and they just kept going and they found a way. It was just annoying that the goal itself, the winner, Nightingale got a little bit sucked into it. You could see it playing out a mile away, and to go into Charlton with a point would have been a really fantastic result. And I think whether it would change the result on Tuesday, I don't know. But what a wonderful start it would have been for Bowen.
Can I just say quickly regarding Zach Robinson, you've got to remember this kid's 19. He shouldn't even be playing first team football at AFC Wimbledon yet. He should be on loan at somewhere in the conference, South or conference.
100%.
He should be learning his trade. He shouldn't be like in. And I think we've got to remember when we look at, I know I'm a big Zach Robinson fanboy, got posts on my wall and everything. I think I rave about the kid and I've raved about him for years. But we also got to remember, like, I'm quick to jump on players' backs and stuff. I've done it before, and I probably should owe people like Chislett an apology. But with Zach Robinson, he's 19, and he's literally just been thrown in, and he's given everything he's got, I think. Like, there's one bit against Charlton when he tried to dribble and he'd done a bit of skill, went round one, and then unfortunately dribbled himself got himself tangled up. But yeah, we've got to remember that he should be out on loan somewhere else. He shouldn't be in the AFC Wimbledon first team. But again, we'll talk about it later regarding recruitment and processes, that we're relying on a 19-year-old striker against Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton. And if you look through Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton squads, how are they playing in League One? Lee Gregory, people like that. Barry Bannon was absolute immense for Sheffield Wednesday. And you look for Charlton, you've got Washington. Leaf players ain't League One players. They're Championship players easily. So go on, Stevie.
Yeah, with Robinson, although he's young, I think he's got the physicality and the height for a League One player. Like, he can hold off the ball, and players like Asau are the ones he can like feed through on goal. And I've seen this process, but this was with Ollie Palmer when he was at Wimbledon. I saw it at Portsmouth, and we kept on going through into their attack every time. We just the big striker holds off the ball, and then it throughs the short, pacey one, and they always get through. It works really well.
No, great. And I think the problem we got was that he shouldn't be playing up front on his own. I think he'd be brilliant to get with an Ollie Palmer or a Cosgrove. Well, Cosgrove maybe not, because he's just a lamppost. But do you know what I mean? I think he'd be better in a two. I think he'll struggle on his own. He ain't a target man, even though I agree with what you're saying, Stevie, regarding his strength and pace. But yeah, I think...
But even with Robinson, Lee, I mean, let's be honest, he's been okay, but all he's done is put 100% effort in. And there won't be a single fan out there who goes, he's absolute world beater. And there won't be a single fan out there who'll go, Robinson, we're not interested. All he does, that boy, is put an effort in. And that's all we're really interested in, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing else we can ask for.
No, I agree.
That's exactly what we need. And
I agree. Going back to players that I've given stick to, and I think they've performed extremely well the last two games, one come off the bench against Charlton. Dan Soccer, I think, as I said before, I think he's our best centre-back now. And I've given him loads of stick. We called him Dan Soccer. He was awful. He's someone now that gives 100% every game. He ain't going to be Maldini. Do you know what I mean? He ain't going to be like Matt Everard was in the CCL, score loads of goals and be brilliant, but he is giving 100% and he's performing well. Same for Chislett. Chislett was one I said I'd get rid of at the end of the season, where now I'm thinking, oh, shall we give him a new deal? Because he's come on against Charlton. He was playing well. Well, he scored against Charlton away. He was playing well, but then he got dropped by Robbo for I don't know why, but I thought he came off the bench the other day. He got man of match against Charlton coming off the bench. I thought he was brilliant. Put on the plate for Robinson. I was chuffed that Robinson scored.
I mean, regardless of our situation, I don't know, we're going to touch on Charlton now, but it is a really, really fascinating six games for not our club. I think we're done, and I've said that, and I'm okay with it. But there is a lot of players, like you said, you go out there and you have three or four decent games with a brand new manager, if he stays on, there's a decent possibility you get a gig here and you get yourself your new contract, or if we stay up, which I don't see, but even whichever league it is, I think it's a really, really interesting time. There's six games. There's a lot of players who would be 50-50s in terms of whether you will, whether you won't, fan split. I think it's a really, really interesting time. And people like Chislett yesterday came off the bench, good bit of skill, great cross. I think he's definitely someone that, regardless of the league that we're in, he's not going to be particularly expensive, and he might be someone that you would have another look at.
Take away the game on Saturday, we've got winnable games coming up. Crew, Fleetwood, Aki, Wickham, they're all winnable games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean,
I know we're down. We're really
drifting towards Charlton, but the fact of that game yesterday, in terms of the frustration of it.
What did you boys think of the Charlton players' tackle?
Mate, I saw it today. Have you seen it, Stevie, yet? Oh, mate, go on YouTube and see it. Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure I've still seen it, but I'll have a look again.
It's the first touch. Like, the touch he makes is horrendous. And then he flies in. He'll be on YouTube or Twitter. He just gets nowhere. And George, bless George Marsh, fair play to him for jumping. If he doesn't, like, try and jump out of the way of the tackle, that's a broken leg.
That's a career-ending tackle, mate. That was.
I'm sure you know, with this in this as well, by the way.
I'd take him. He's a bit of a prick, but I like shit-hazard. I like shit-hazard players. Yeah, you're just seeing this thing.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, that should be a too much ban for that.
Well, I think it is. I think it is.
It's got to be a minimum. But that whole game yesterday was the frustrating thing about it, is it just summed up for me our entire season in a game, in terms of we get given a wonderful opportunity, and then we literally, Osu gets destroyed from I don't know, I haven't seen it back, but from where I was standing behind our goal, he got done for pace, which is rare, made a mistake, a good bit of quality by the right wing back or the right winger, and they crossed it to a Championship forward who has scored goals in the Championship, and he's scoring. It's like, stop making mistakes, have a bit of quality crossing, and have a decent striker, and we just don't have any of them three.
Two things I want to point out. The first one is regards Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton Osu. He's not a wing back in a million years. He's a left back because he's not a wing back. He gets absolutely roasted. He falls asleep. The Sheffield Wednesday goal was because of him. He fell asleep. They put a ball in. The guy comes in the back post and scores where he should be marking. Again, I think he's a terrible wing back, but he's a half decent left back. The other thing I want to point out is Dobson is exactly what we want Woodyard to be.
Yeah,
and he's not. And Woodyard, I'm just getting sick of him just running around like a headless chicken, just moaning at people the whole games.
I mean, yesterday was frustrating because the first 15 minutes, Charlton just mullered us. I couldn't believe it wasn't
20 minutes.
3-0. And then, obviously, it got to 0-0 at half-time and everyone was like, right, let's get behind it. The crowd were magnificent, got the sending off. And then again, it's just everything's working in your way. You get a sucker punch. And then it's like, I mean, it was just unbelievable. Literally, when he scored yesterday, it was just like when Stockley scored, it was just complete beggar's belief. And obviously, we came and we tried. Mabune made a couple of really good crosses and, again, just wasn't a centre-forward anywhere near it. A nice finish from Zach Robinson. But it's just, for me, it's a sums up our season. We haven't been able to get any kind of consistent quality. And then when we have done, it's been poor. Can I just talk quickly about Henry Lawrence? Because, my God, the man's just gone absolutely nosedive, doesn't he? It was horrible yesterday.
His set pieces were unbelievably bad.
Just in general. I mean, I just thought he was rubbish. Absolutely terrible yesterday.
But who are you playing there instead? Who are you playing at right back?
I play Osu right back and play Guinness Walker left back. Lawrence was pony yesterday.
I know what you mean.
Couldn't tackle. His crossing, he was on the corners.
His set pieces were absolutely awful. They were schoolboy crossing.
It was just, we kind of constantly are going around the houses. And I just, like I said, it's just so frustrating when you're looking around and you're seeing pockets of quiet. Radoni at times turned it on, looked really classy. Asal was hunting. Robinson tried. Chislett was good when he came on. But we just almost were like that we're like an actor who always, when it comes on the big stage, just stutters his lines. We just had headers that were like an absolute sitter. Guinness Walker had middle of the goal, completely missed it. Just, we just would, personally, and again, obviously with the news that we've heard today about the board, this season has just been an absolute nightmare.
Like, I know, we'll
chop it and go.
Yeah, so it's been horrendous, isn't it? By all counts. But we'll come on to that in a minute regarding processes and stuff like that. And we'll go. Stevie, before we move on, is there anything last minute you want to say regarding anything regarding the games or anything? Danny, do you want to say anything, boys?
All I'm going to say is
just all ramble.
Yeah, I'm with Stevie. I've always been quite optimistic and quite positive. I know a lot of Wimbledon fans, I never say die, etc. But after Tuesday, me and my dad were like, okay, do you know what? It's okay now. We can, like, it's almost like we can finally, like, you've got your dead relative and you're going to, I can let go now. Like, me and my dad were like, you know what? We're okay now. Go and drift off and have a nice summer and let's come back and regroup. Well, it's not the end of us, far from it. It's just so frustrating. The 1 year that we desperately would have loved to have stayed in League One, would have been this year, and I can't see us. I'm not even sure I see us beating Fleetwood or Crewe, to be honest with you now. But
we will.
Yeah.
Stevie, anything else to say?
No, I'm just at agree that it was a poor season. Just need to write it off.
Oh, it's hard to write off when you could be in League Two. But anyway, we'll move on, and when we come back, we'll discuss the processes. So that's the recruitment processes and all the processes that were put in place by Robert.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing the process. Is it stick or twist? Should we rip it up? And do we start again? Some people I've seen say we should not be ripping it up. We can't keep sacking managers every year and start new processes over and over again. I kind of disagree with that. I think that when you get a new manager in, we should say to him, especially as the process this year has not worked at all. Our recruitment's been possibly the worst recruitment we've ever had. We've got someone in Mark Bowen now who was a director of football at Reading. He's got experience and contacts. I think if he was to get the job, obviously that's still... We don't know if he's going to accept the job if we offer it full time, or if we want him full time after, say, he loses six in a row and we get spanked now for the rest of the season. But if a new manager's coming in, I think we need to go to them and go, right, what do you want to do? What are you going to do with Wimbledon? Hopefully we're going to have a bigger budget next season, whatever league we're in. Recruitment-wise, I would always put that down to the manager. I feel pretty sorry for Will Daniels. He's a part-time betting analyst who's come on board, and it literally hasn't worked this year, recruitment. And I think we should rip it up and let new manager go ahead and bring a process. I think like every manager we've had has always had their own process. Wally, Neil Ardley, Terry Brown, Dave Anderson. It's worked before. So why not rip it up?
Stevie, what do you reckon?
I don't know. I don't know if I trust this new manager or not. I don't really know much about him. I thought he would be a bit of a flop, to be honest. But from the first game, I thought the performance seemed quite half decent. So I want to trust in his process and hopefully we get better. You know.
I mean, for me, I don't think the process is the problem. I'm more than and again, I don't want to sound like Alan Partridge or David Brent or anything like that, but. Okay, I might have to just say it. So basically, the ultimate process is investing in our young players, making sure that our youth is strong because we can't afford to keep buying players, and ultimately get good players, sell them off so we can pay the debt off quicker so we can kind of move forward. From that angle, I think the process is fine. I don't think we need to change that. And it's a pretty obvious one because that's how it works. The problem I've got is... there are components of what we're doing which are not working and we need to do something about. So the recruitment has to change because it's been arguably our worst aspect of what we do. I think the balance of youth with experience has not been right. And I think I would rather, if we're going to go down the young route, I would have less loan players come in and I'd have more young players from Wimbledon playing, even if it's on the bench. I'd only bring in, for me, I would bring in a maximum of 4 experienced loan players or players of Dobson's age, players who are going to be relatively decent. You might want to have a gamble here and there. But in general, if our focus is to get our players better, let's not buy a 19-year-old from Brentford or loan a 19-year-old from Brentford. Let's get a 30-year-old, a 29, a 28, a 27, whatever else you can get, who could maybe support and mentor our younger players. And I think that is something that we should continue to look to do. I'm disappointed that Robinson has gone because I would have liked to have seen him gone the whole way through and then we could at least go, we've adopted this for 18 months and it's not worked. But I understand the change. Lee?
Yeah, I just wanted to say we've got your point regarding like our young players and stuff like that. And I think we want to look at, like, we're looking at, say, the Brentford model.
Can you stop saying Brentwood?
Yeah,
every
sorry.
Every time Brentford come up, it's Brentwood. I like going to the sugar house.
Looking at the Brentford model, right, which is fine when Brentford have done it for years and years and years and probably put a lot of money into making that work and sustainable. They've put full-time people in charge of that kind of process. We're working, as I said, I've said it before, and I don't want to keep going over the processes, but I think it's ideal for this episode, is that we do money ball on a Poundland budget, and it ain't worked this year. We've had, the loans have been the worst loans I've ever seen. If any of them, would you sign any of our loan players? No, not a chance you'd sign them full-time. Where we've got, what I'm saying with Mark Bowen coming in is we've got someone who is experienced, contacts, director of football. I'd say let him now just rip it all up and start again through what he wants to do. I know people will say, well, you can't keep doing that every year. Why not? Next year, if we're in League Two, we need to be looking at getting promoted from League Two back to League One, or we're going to just stagnate in League Two, we'll possibly go down again if we follow the same process with all the youth and kids and all that. If we are in League One, we can't go through another proper relegation again because it's just dire. It just drains the life out of everyone. So I think we need to say to Mark Bowen, like, what does he want? What does he think the best thing for the club going forward? Do you know what I mean? And take on board what he says. And if new process, then I think that has to be a new process.
I mean, the real concern I've got is we've obviously been going on about youth players and getting them and obviously recruiting players forward. And obviously, Asal and Radoni, Osu, I know Osu, they're not necessarily all fresh off of the youth train. But Robinson, an example. But I just, over 10 years, we haven't had a huge amount of young players who have come through who are not necessarily valuable because we've got money for Sibic and people like that, but who genuinely are good players or are star players in our team. And we're going to lose, and we're going to sell both of our star players this summer without doubt. So we're going to lose Asal, we're going to lose Radoni. So you're asking now, it always takes at least a season for someone to come up and get sorted. If the priority is getting promoted, then I don't really know how we're going to carry on with this kind of process as it is, but I feel like we need to run with it. But Stevie, what have you made of the loans? Are you happy with them? Do you think they've been poor? Where are you at with it?
Well, I haven't seen too much of the loans because I haven't been able to watch many of the games. But from what I've heard of that, they've been the worst like loans that we've ever had in the club. And they're just like really awful. So I think we should try to loan in more veteran players and maybe like 30, 31-year-olds next season just to give the youngsters a little boost. And then if Asau and Radoni are going to get sold, bring up some more like players that like play like them, like right playing style. And then we can like shift them into like making them how they were and then like move forward from there.
I just feel like if you're going to get relegated, Lee, I feel that I cannot see us springboarding. I cannot see us going down. The squad's going to get completely decimated. And yeah, then we're going to try and come back up. And basically Quain Bartley in the squad. Can't see it.
So I'm going to talk about that when we talk about relegation. Is it a bad thing? So that's going to be coming next. But regarding processes and stuff like that, we've got now, if Mark Bowen was to take the job full time, he plays a totally different style of football to what Robbo did.
Yeah.
Right? So what you usually have at a club is everyone plays that same style from the youth.
Yeah.
Upwards. So we have to get rid of some of the process. We have to get rid of some of the cliches that we use. It's funny, on Saturday and on Tuesday, we dropped finishes straight away on the graphics and it was back to bench.
But that's got nothing to do with formation, though, is it? You don't change the process because of the formation, because
you do though, because if if you're playing 3-5-2 in the first team and you're playing like pressing and or you're playing deep defence and stuff like, we're not playing the slick football as we did under Robbo, but you're getting results.
No, that's not the process. That's just the style.
It's part of the process. Yeah, but it's still part of the process.
The process is basically get young players into the team, sell them for big money, have a young and hungry playing squad, and that's in a nutshell our process. That's got nothing to do with.
Because are you still sticking by that? Are you going to still stick by that thing, that document that we saw with, what is it, £2,500 for an experienced player?
But that is the process. That's what I mean.
Are we going to follow that going forward? Because Mark Bowen might look at that and think, well, the three players I could get lined up, and not they're going to cost us more than £2,500, but I'm also going to get these loanees for nothing.
But that's the problem, Lee.
That's what I mean. So you have to change your processes depending on what manager you have in charge.
No, but we said this, though. We said the process has got to be bigger than the Robbo. You were if you get rid of Robbo, the process should carry on. So it should carry on.
But now I'm looking at it from a different manager's coming with different way of speaking and a different, like, he doesn't talk to us like we're kids. He talks to us like we're adults. You can see he's got experience with what he says. He's quite blunt with what he says to us. I like that kind of style. And I think, yeah, if he wants to change the processes, then we have to go, yeah. And if he's good, we have to, if we go, which we are getting relegated, if we get relegated, we have to try and bounce back. We can't just stagnate in League Two. Can't. Go on, Steve.
So basically, I think we should keep the original way to some extent and change it a little bit. But we need to get what the manager wants out of the squad and do his process. But we need to keep the foundation of the original process. Otherwise, the too big of a change can be cause us to play even worse and get more losses and stuff.
But I agree with it, and that's why I think this happened this year, because we changed it so drastically. In one season, we went from Wally to Robbo, and Robbo changed it drastically as this big long-term goal. But then you don't win in 22 games. You end up getting sacked. We have to then look at it and go, well, that didn't work. Do you know what I mean? If that process didn't work, then we have to change it a little bit. You have to...
If you're changing the process, then you could... This is where the problem is, only, is that I don't think that you can ask, unless Mark Bowen is committed and you think he's the right kind of guy. Bearing in mind, he's only signed to the end of the year. So we don't know. Bowen could quite easily take this 7-game hit and go, right, see you later. So it's for me, it's a risky one. But again, we go back to the Robbo thing. I thought we as a club were at a position that where we went, this is what we would like to do. And then the manager has to fit into that process. Yeah, he might go, I want this maybe and that. But ultimately, the process is youth players coming through, sell them off, and then we can have a go. That's got to be the conveyor belt, surely.
Dan, I kind of get that. But then the CEO goes, the manager goes, we've just lost a board member. No one, like, what is going on at the club at the moment? We're meant to go, yeah, we're going to follow this process. When all three people have just gone who love the process.
Our club is absolutely in
the shit, it looks like, at the moment. If you're outside looking in, well, got no CEO, no manager, and no board. Like, the board's literally in bits at the moment.
We are an absolute circus at the minute. And it is such a shame. Like you said, the one thing, I'm not saying fans are completely innocent and social media's been taxing to listen to, but my God, the amount of money that Plough Lane bond has made, the amount of noise that was made at Hillsborough and Accrington, and come rain or come shine, Wimbledon fans are by and large a great bunch, and we have had, what in my opinion, an absolutely horrific first experience coming to Plough Lane.
With regards to the Don's Trust, and it's only Don's Trust members who get to vote, and not the full fans get to have a say. And this is why it drives me mad, is because people go, look, I want, at the moment, the whole Don's Trust board is taking an absolute battering. But it might not be the Don's Trust board that deserved the battering, it might be the PLC board. But then you've got four people on the PLC board and on the Don's Trust board, so it kind of murks the water a little bit. But we've got to stop going to people, well, if you don't like who's on the Don's Trust board, why don't you stand next time? People have lice. They might not be able to stand and pop
Lee,
those.
There's no civil war. You know this. There's no civil war. Everything's cushy.
But every fan should be allowed an opinion. You're telling people they can't have an opinion because they're not Don's Trust members or they're not going to be able to stand. If you don't like the person on Don's Trust board, then stand and replace them. So I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to. I'd love to, but I don't. But I can still have an opinion. So you're not doing a good enough job. What? Like that's why I still feel a bit sorry for. Paul, I was just about to say Phil Daniels in.
Will Daniels,
right? Because he's a part-time. He come in as part-time. We've got two part-time scouts. We had a CEO on our recruitment panel. Who is he then? Who is he holding him accountable if it's shit, which it has been? I know he's gone now. So I just think one thing I would scrap the football committee and the recruitment committee because that's been absolutely awful. And then the manager should be in charge of the. I understand that Robbo was not getting the players that he wanted and he was not signing off on these players, but they were the players that were given to him.
Okay, so I've rolled my sleeves up already, as you can see. Look, are we scrapping this process? Are we saying thank you very much? This process has been what it is, and thank you very much. And we're going to follow Bowen if he carries on, or a senior manager. Because that's the other thing we've got to think about. If we want a senior manager, we're not necessarily going to be able to run the same process because they're not going to buy into it. Or do we go, this is the process and we need to fit a manager to fit it?
Sorry, Steve, I just got a point because you're trying. I just think you have to fit the process around the manager because if we go to and this is the process, the manager might come in and go, laugh at that process and go, no, I can't do that. I ain't going to be able to do it. And then we end up with like what? Shit managers coming.
But every year, then
my only worry about Bowen is that he'd come in to put his name out there, and if he does a great job of us, everyone goes, "Oh, look, this Mark Bowen looks good." Shall we get him in? Say Morecambe get rid of their manager or Shrewsbury or something, and then go, "Right, this Mark Bowen looks good. We can give him more than Wimbledon. Let's get him in to manage our club instead." That's my only worry. I'm hoping that he's coming on an audition for us, but he could be auditioning for other clubs away from us. And I just think you have to scrap. A process if the manager wants it to be scrapped because he's going to be leading the club. And the football committee's got to be scrapped straight away.
But as a club then, bearing in mind the lifespan of a manager is no more than 18 months really. Every 18 months, your whole culture of your club, the way that you go about things changes every 18 months. And we can't
do that but that's a myth. Wimbledon don't sack managers every 18 months.
We do though.
No, but we sack managers
we do. No.
Ardley, if they're poor.
Hodges, Downs, Robinson, Ardley has been sacked. Ardley's been sacked.
Yeah, Wally got sacked because he fucked up.
Less than 18 months.
Right, he fucked up and he gave them a way out. Right,
factually,
and they sacked him for it.
He's lasted 18 months.
Glyn Hodges, right? Everyone kind of jumped on his back. It was poor and stuff like that. He was a really bad manager.
18 months.
Robinson did not win a game in 22, so he had to be sacked. He should have been sacked 6 games ago.
So
he should have been sacked 2 months ago. So it wouldn't have been 18 months. It would have been 16 months.
I'm gonna ask Uncle Google how long does the average football manager last?
Yeah, but we're not the average. If you come into Wimbledon, if you do a good job, you are going to be you ain't getting sacked. We are quite lenient with our managers. Robbo should have gone. Ages ago. Yeah. We were quite. Any manager who goes 21 games unbeaten gets sacked. What's your thoughts, Stevie, on managers getting sacked at Wimbledon? We're quite patient, I believe.
I reckon Robbo should have been gone a long time ago. Like you said, 6 or 7 games ago. Keeping them on for that long is unacceptable. But it's just, I feel like the club's got too many ignorant people in charge. Need to sort that out.
Go on a bit more about that, Stevie, because you're a young Wimbledon fan. You're 16 years old. Do you know what I mean? We get told that people see it differently. So you're a young 16-year-old. What do you mean by who do you think is accountable at the moment?
Don's Trust. I've seen on Facebook tons of people saying that Don's Trust have to go. It's a fans club for a reason. You don't want just specific people giving their opinion. You want the whole fans, and you as well as the managers just to like. But it's just ignorant people saying no. Only Don's Trust are in charge. You do this, that, and stuff.
No, I kind of agree. The only problem I've got with that is there's some people on the Don's Trust board maybe I don't think are good enough. They don't offer a lot. There's people that didn't get onto the Don's Trust board that would have been better. But these people are putting themselves out there. They are giving 100%. We've just lost Xavier Wiggins, who I know personally, and I think he's a good man. I think we've lost someone who does amazing work, not just for Wimbledon, but for DLAG. And I think he's going to be sorely missed. I reckon he'll be around it still with the people that he knows on the board. But I think we need to look at more like people like Freddie Flaxman, people like Xavier Wiggins, people like James Pricey, people like that who have business acumen. They've run businesses, successful businesses. They know people. Like, I think we need to look at that other than just a fan who goes every game and they know people. Like the fans vote to them because they know their face. They get along with them in the bar. You can't be voting people on to run a football club just because you get along with them if they don't offer nothing business-wise, financial-wise, football-wise. That really drives me mad at the moment.
I totally agree with you.
People on the board that are great, like Michelle, Graham Stacey, people are doing really good jobs on the board, and we need to make sure that these people ain't hounded out, but we also need to make sure that the board is full of good people, the whole lot of it. You can't just have one or two.
I think all the boards, in terms of their ambitions, are great, and I think they're nice guys and nice people. But as we've said, Lee, and we've chatted a lot off of camera, if you like, but it's like, how are these people the best people placed to run the football club or with their backgrounds? I mean, like I said, me and you could run it. We've been in here. We've obviously got a couple of million listening to us. We run it. All of a sudden, you know, I'm the co-chair or I'm the chair of the Don's Trust. I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. And you can go through hustings and what you like, but with such a small community, with such a relatively low turnout, which is similar to across other elections, I just find it's a very odd, it doesn't quite sit right that you could literally have people who don't have a clue what they're doing running a football club. And I feel that's part of the problem.
I had an idea. I think we've got the space at the football club at the moment, haven't we? We've got that massive hall area. So we need to do a public meeting where the Don's Trust board are there, like all in faces, and we have questions to them, but not just from Don's Trust board members, from fans, every fan, you know what I mean? Get people there and get grievances. I'm not being rude. If this was a chairman in charge, say Roman Abramovich was in charge of Wimbledon, and we just oversaw this whole season as it is, one person in charge, the people on the Don's Trust board now, I know they would be questioning what was going on, and they would be questioning, asking this chairman what was happening. So why could not, like, all fans now question the Don's Trust board? Do you get what I mean by that? Because if it was one chairman, everyone would be going, like, people would be going mad at him.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Do you know what I mean? Or her. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard, though, Lee, also. And again, it is very difficult to have a pop and poke and prod at volunteers.
It ain't really. You're putting yourself in that position. You're putting yourself in that position to do it. So you have to now take the shit with the smooth. And the people are well happy to take the smooth and they're well happy to take the plaudits. But when the shit hits the fan, you have to then be held accountable as well. And if you're going for a job like that's what I said, if you're like, we got to remember these people are fans, they're giving 100%, but you can question them. Don't get personal and stuff like that. Don't deliberately try and antagonise people. Question them. Why has that happened? Why was the ticket fiasco? Was Joe Palmer to blame for a lot of this stuff? And that's why he's now left.
But it's difficult.
Because Robbo and Palmer have been the ones that have been kicked out. Yeah. So that says to me that they're two to blame for it.
But obviously, the Don's Trust, we've got one guy who stepped down. And I don't know. For me, it's a bit tricky on the fact that with Joe Palmer and Robinson, I personally think they both jumped, which I think is a bigger question that we've got three people, in my opinion, who all three have jumped. And it'd be interesting to see why these three people have decided. I think Joe Palmer smelt a rat and went, right, that's me gone. This is not going the way I wanted to go. I'm off. I think Robinson jumped because, bless him, I think he ran out of rope and was like, do you know what? I've got nowhere to go. And bless Xavier, because like I said, when I was growing up watching Wimbledon, I used to look at people like Xavier and go, I want to be that kind of bloke, starting chance and having a great day. And young fans look at me and think, wow, I want to be where he is. But like I said, I just feel like the club needs a shakedown. And like, it might be unpopular, but I just still believe that if fan-owned ownership was as good as it might well be, everyone would be doing it. And they don't. And like I said, I know the Green Bay Packers do it over in the States. in English football, in a lot of football clubs. They just don't do it. And I feel like ultimately, it's not just a knee jerk of this year. It's just, I feel like if we've done so well getting where we need to get to, but the next step in our journey is so massive that we need to change up.
I really hope we get the fans Xavier back, because he's a great guy. When he was on the terrace, he was singing. I've been on many away games with him, had a few beers with him. He is a really good fan and he loves giving it to him. But I think we need to now open it up to the full fan base regarding everything that we do now, as we're meant to be a fan-owned club, and the decisions are like being made with, I think that people are just really annoyed with now. And I think Joe Palmer was to blame for a lot of it, and that's maybe why he went. Robbo was to blame for the football side, and that's why he's now gone. But we have to hold the Don's Trust board or the PLC board accountable. I was going to say to you two, do you think we should get maybe a couple of independent people on the board? Right, like Nick Robertson. And because it's all too family, it's all too friendly. So if you're friends with one person in the club, do you know what I mean? It's like Robbo. Robbo was too friendly with some of the Don's Trust board. So that may be why it made it a harder decision to sack him earlier. Do you get what I mean by that?
Yeah. What I think is that we should get some people as to like take over, who know what they're doing. But to some extent, like, they've got to love football, love the club, and they can't just do it for the sake of it, like getting known. They got to know what they're doing, like the club, and have a good process and actually benefit the club instead of just being ignorant and getting their name out there and all that sort of stuff.
See, that's one thing I totally agree with you, Stevie. There's too many people at our club. I've called them weasels before. There's too many people at our club who just want to have their face in everything. They want to have their name about, and that they become this kind of superstar AFC Wimbledon fan. And it shouldn't be about that. It should be about the club first. What the fan, all the fans want. I want to take on board every single fan. Me and Danny have said it loads of times. We'll get as many people on this podcast who disagree with us as possible. We'll get people to come on and we listen to all fans. I think the club kind of steps away from that. That's why I said maybe a couple on the board that are independent, that don't have that relationship with people on the board already, or have that relationship with the club. It's all just too friendly, too familiar, and it annoys the hell out of me.
Lee, last question for both of you from me. Do you feel that after this year that the club is going to sit down, have a look at itself, and are we going to be an improved club? Not the team. The team will be the team.
Club.
Are we going to see an improved version of AFC Wimbledon next year regarding how we're run, budget, ground, whatever else you might call it? Or are we going to be sort of same, same, same?
I think we're going to stay the same. And I think I'm struggling to see. I miss going football bad. I'm not going football at the moment because I'm getting married in 5 weeks. So all my money's going on that. And I miss it badly. But I was thinking today, if things don't change at the club, would it be worth me getting a season ticket? I love Plough Lane. I love seeing my mates. But would it be worth me getting a season ticket and just seeing the same old shit all the time, when I can just go away games and enjoy the football instead? And if the football's shit, I'm still getting drunk. I'm still having a laugh with my mates. And I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm traveling around different places of the country. I think a lot of people now are contemplating, are they going to get season tickets next year? Because of, one, the dross on the pitch. And some of the players, their arrogance and their just the way they do things at the moment, footballers, modern footballers, just annoy people. And I just think off the pitch, I think people are just getting really annoyed with being told that their opinion doesn't count. And the only opinions that count are the people that are involved within the club or have been put involved in the club. There's things that are involved in the club now that people have been given jobs that weren't even put out there to other fans. There's so many fans that could do the jobs and could do it better. And I'm not just talking, this ain't talking about Don's Trust Board, I'm talking about jobs within the club. But yeah, we also got to remember there is good people at the club as well, people in the club shop. You know what I mean? Matt and Anthony Circuit do a great job and they smash it every single week. The bar is brilliant now. By the Horns have taken that over and they're doing an absolute smashing job. But I think higher up, there's too many people with their own egos. And if it doesn't change, I hate saying it because I probably will get a season ticket anyway. I always say it, you know what I mean? But it's a lot of money at the moment and it's not fun. It's not enjoyable to watch football. But we'll come
and
on
you,
that
Lee,
later.
It's a long way to go. I mean, someone like Stevie and you guys have got, if you're going to go to Plough Lane, it's a 3-hour round trip potentially.
Yeah, but
The problem is, I did that in my youth. I loved it. I loved going everywhere, Wimbledon, like Sellers, Plough Lane, everywhere, watching Wimbledon, going all the way. But as you get older, you get kids, your missus starts going. That's why most men go to away days, is to get away from her indoors, get away from the kids. I'm just going to football. Some of my mates don't even go watch the football when they go up to like Manchester and Newport. They stay in the pub all day. But their missus thinks they're at the football and they're just staying in the pub just to get away from them.
Do you want to say any names just to kind of dob them into their wives?
No, I don't. Go away. Snitches get stitches, mate. I don't want to do that. But Stevie, what's your view as a 16-year-old fan travelling up from Portsmouth games? How are you feeling as a fan? Do you feel that you're listened to? Do you feel that your view counts?
No, I don't feel like they really care about everyone's opinion. I think it's just they only care about the Don's Trust of people of high stature, and I feel like that comes in that people want to get their name known and become part of the Don's Trust. It's all part of that ignorance. Like they want to be like that. They want to be known just to so they can actually get heard, as well as just to be known for their name as well. So, and for me, like I have to travel ages to get up there, and I can't even park half the time. And sometimes I have to get home at like 10 if it's like a 7:45 kickoff. And if I have like school the next day, it's like a right pain. Especially if we have an awful performance and lose, it's really not good just to travel all that way for that.
But that's being
part of travel and do double Latin, do you, next day? I mean, that's a killer.
That's part of being a football fan. I used to travel from Chigwell all the way, and I used to have to go to college the next day.
Oh, mate, you never went to college. Behave yourself.
I did.
University of life, mate. That's what
you went to. I did a GMVQ. It's the only one I could get accepted on. Leisure and tourism. Never needed it in my life. But, Danny, what's your point? Your question, your answer.
I feel like the club will get better, and I think that the ground's been great. I think that there will definitely be a review at the end of the year. They've obviously alluded to it. I'm kind of stuck between whether this has just been a bit of an anomaly season in terms of off the pitch. We've been so poor. I mean, even the massive video thing for 20 minutes of Robbo and Chris Stewart and Xavier. And then 2 weeks later, two of them aren't here anymore. It's like, Jesus, like that. I think where it will change and it will become much, much better. I think we'll be a better club in the long term. But
then we were meant to have a ticket.
Four bumps in the road first.
Well, we meant to have a ticket in review. That was meant to be coming out shortly, and that's still not come out yet.
Must be, yeah.
Oh, they say stuff. As I said, I'd love to get them in a big room, get loads of fans there, question them, like they did when we released the Don's Trust bond, and we questioned them, and people weren't happy with what was being said at the time, and it got questioned. I kind of agree with Stevie's point there, is that some people, they don't like being questioned, but they do like doing the questioning. But if you're going to be on the Don's Trust board, or you're going to be part of the club and you're going to be within the inner circle, you're going to have mud thrown at you sometimes.
100%.
Right, we're going to move on. And then when we come back, is getting relegated such a bad thing?
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
And we're back, and we're going to be discussing relegation. Is it such a bad thing? My point of view is, no, I don't think it would be such a bad thing, as long as we get a decent manager. Like, I am falling for Mark Bowen a little bit, and Eddie. I do like the cut of his jib. I do like the stuff that he's saying. I do like the fact that we look better already. But we also got to take it carefully, because I've seen it before where you've got a manager who takes over 7 games, does really well, gets in charge. I think Glenn Hodges is probably point there, does really well. And then full season, he's absolutely horrendous. But I think if we get a manager in, and if we can have a decent top half League Two budget, not saying I want the top 3 or top 6, just a top 10 budget in League Two, I think we could do decent things in League Two. And if we start winning games, it's about bringing the fun back. We said it earlier. There is no fun in football at the moment, is there? Going to watch Wimbledon, it ain't fun. And I think that's what we need to do. So is getting relegated the worst thing? In my opinion, no.
Stevie, go on, Stevie.
Although I think it's the best thing to get relegated, I do think there is going to be some negatives out of it. Like, we're going to sell our best players, so if we go back up straight away, we'll have a weaker squad than before. And the fact that we go down may put people off and go and watch the games, and we won't even sell out the stadium like we have been doing in the past.
I've got one point regarding that, because apparently we've been selling out the stadium this year, and you look at it, it's still half empty. I know they're counting season ticket holders into benches, but it's driving me mad. But that's another point in case. But we've got to get relegated. If we sold, say we sell Rudani and SL, right? How many, we've got a few players out of contract. I think Hennigan, Woodyard, all the loans go back.
Hartigan, yeah.
This is what I was saying about the processes earlier. You give Mark Bowen a blank piece of paper with a half-decent budget, I think he could put together a good, decent League Two squad with some of the players already there.
Oh, yeah. 100%, yeah.
Danny?
I don't think it's the be-all and end-all of Wimbledon, far from it. I think we've come far too far for us to worry about a relegation. And I do feel that we have been, I just feel like we haven't been a League One team. And I don't think we're a League One club, to be honest. I think we've worked really, really hard to be where we are. But really, I think we are a League Two set up. I personally feel if we get relegated, I think we'll be 12th. I think we'll be middle of the road. I think it'll be a year where we'll have to find a way of getting our younger players who are going to be getting experience. We'll be almost rebuilding a squad to potentially have a go the following year. I don't see us bouncing back at all. I think the money that we'll sell for Rodoni and Asal will go straight off the loan, which it probably should do. And I think them two will go for a combination of not probably, we might be lucky, might get a million, maybe for the pair of them. I don't think we'll get more than that. But I feel like it's the right thing for the club to do. And I think that we can take a step back, reevaluate to go forwards. But I do also think that people forgot that when we got promoted, since we've been in that league, in the Football League, we've basically been in the bottom 10 of every league we've been in. And the league, the year we got promoted was the year that we chucked some dosh at it, and we got really lucky. That Accrington away game where we thought Ardley could get sacked, and we came back and I think we won, actually. We won away 4-3 at Accrington. It kind of turned all our fortunes around. So I think we'll get relegated. I think we'll be bang, bang, average. And then all of a sudden, it will start to start kicking off and getting better. That's what I think anyway.
So I totally disagree with you, because if you look at players in League Two, Northampton are doing all right in League Two. Got Mitchell Pinnock as one of their star players. Yeah. I'd have him nowhere near our squad at the moment, yeah, even in our playing, squad now. Would you have him in the squad now?
Mate, if it's the Mitchell Pinnock that plays at Northampton now, I'm having him every day of the week.
Yeah, no, you can't.
If it's the Mitchell Pinnock for Wimbledon, then I'm not going to have him.
Well, it's got to be the Mitchell Pinnock we had at Wimbledon, because that's the only thing we can judge.
But you can't.
But he's dropped down to League Two and he's smashing it.
Yeah, but then
Dylan but Thompson, I think we've got
he's smashing it at Morecambe.
Also, I think that we've got Rudoni and Asal, that if we sell, I think we're going to get about £1.5 million, £1.2 million from two of them. Some of that has to go to the loan, but some of that has to be reinvested back into the squad.
No way.
Has to be.
It's
you
never
can't
happen, mate.
But it has
it's
to be. It has to. Has to. Otherwise, we're going to have what Stevie just said. I said, if we do start playing dire in League Two against people like Leighton Orient and Barrows at home, then people will just give up. Well, you said like earlier, like season tickets are going to be...
The priority of the club, Lee, right now, above everything, is what?
It can't be the loan. It has to be the loan. It can't be. You have to put something decent on that pitch.
No.
You have to.
The priority of Wimbledon Football Club at this exact moment is paying off that loan.
And one of the reasons why we're getting relegated is they prioritise money over a replacement for Ollie Palmer.
Totally
agree. We've got a lamppost in Cosgrove who's what? Played five games, looked like he's going to score one, right? We prioritise money. We can't do that if we drop to League Two. We have to have a half-decent budget.
We might have a half-decent budget in terms of what they're going to say that we've got before the season starts. But if we sell those players, that money is going to take off a massive chunk.
I don't think Asel's going anywhere, to be fair.
You don't think he's going anywhere?
Who's signing him? And he signed a good contract. He's still under contract.
I would love a bet with you on this one. Yeah. Asel and Rudoni, there is no way.
Rudoni's off 100%.
They start the first game. Yeah. Next year, no way.
Rodoni's off, right? Rodoni's off 100%. I don't think Asal's off. I think he's depends on who's going to sign him. If Charlton come in, but they ain't got that. Well, they've got a bit of money, but yeah, Charlton might be the only one. But
he's a young lad, he's going to be no more than £300,000 or £400,000 with a sizable sell on, with a sizable appearances, etc. someone's not taking a punt on him.
Stevie, what are you saying? Nassar and Rodoni, do you think they'll be both here or both gone next season?
I think Rodoni will pack it in and leave, but Asal is I kind of 50-50 split whether he'll leave or stay. But I think he will stay for just one or two more seasons.
And what are you back up. And what value are you having him at? If a club were coming in now and you'd go, right, this is how much you're selling him for?
Between $500,000 to $600K, you've got to put big bucks on the good players.
I'd have $1 million on Rodoni straight away. There's players worse than Rodoni that have been gone for worse money, mate. No. Danny, you've got your heads in your hands, but
how many? Well, think about League One. How many players have left League One for £1 million plus? Someone like Rathbone, who is class, and he went for not very much at all. Rodoni has not won enough games. He does score goals, granted,
and gets assists.
Value to us of $1 million, but you say assists, but we haven't been scoring any goals. And if he was that good, Rodoni,
I think we'll get 1 to 1.5 from both. I don't think Asale's off either. I don't think he'll go. I think he'll stay. And if he stays in League Two, I think we've got a player there. But one thing we need to do in League Two is I think we need to get rid of some of the dead wood. Free transfers. Hennigan, would you keep Hennigan? League Two?
Yes. But no way staying.
I don't think he'll stay because it's quite funny with regards to Hennigan is that he wanted to be playing Championship football a couple of years ago, didn't he? And next season, he's going to be playing League Two football. I wouldn't keep Hennigan. I wouldn't keep Woodyard. I wouldn't keep Shea Alexander. I'd sell Nesta and I'd start again, mate. We have to blank piece of paper and give our new manager. Hopefully, it'll be Mark Bowen. I'll put my flag on the mast, whatever it is. And hopefully, we've got to have a good budget. And you know one thing we need next year?
Some goals, some points.
Couple of decent strikers.
100%.
It's what we lack this year, Dan. It's why we're
Don't think, but going back to the original question, I don't think relegation is the absolute be-all and end-all because I feel like I don't worry too much about being another Southend or Yeovil, but I do feel like we could quite easily do a Crawley and be middle League Two for a sizable amount of years. But unfortunately, until that loan is paid off, the priority of the club, and they've said it already because they sold Palmer and didn't replace him, the fundamental thing is we are going to be in this position with an improved budget, which is still going to be piss poor, that we're not going to be bouncing back and flying unless we have a bit of magic. We get a fours, we get somebody else from League. But in League Two, are we going to get that?
Hoping again the managers come in, changes the process, and we hopefully get some decent players in. But on a selfish point of view, I'm looking at League Two and thinking, oh, there's some grounds I can tick off there. Like I've never been to Harrogate, Salford. Also, hopefully Stevenage get relegated so we don't have to go there again.
Oh, Stevenage.
Barrow Way is an absolute dream of a trip. It's like an 8-hour day just to get there, and then you've got the football. I love Barrow Way. Christmas we went. The worst Christmas tree I've ever seen in my life as well. It was like it was just a mud pile with lights on it and balls.
I think
just
the only
mud.
Problem with League Two is that I don't think, and I'm going to have a look now, there's not, I've just seen your message, Lee, sorry. There's not many Southern games, I don't think.
There's not many teams with massive budgets either. Salford will
literally
be there.
Like
if Wrexham go up.
I mean, local derbies, you've got Crawley.
Orient.
And Orient.
Leighton, yeah.
That's it. And maybe if you want to be bold.
Colchester.
But that's not over. That might be localish to you. Yeah, it's not local. But there's a lot of League Two grounds that I've not done. But whether I'll be able to convince Mrs. Baker that she'll let me.
To be fair, next year, when I was coming to games, on away games, I used to sort out pubs. And this year we've left it to...
I remember you said that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and I found one of the best pubs ever in Barnsley called the Moulders Arms. Unreal pub. And this year, our mate Lewis has been doing it. He's been doing an okay job. He's doing all right with pubs. But the other day, we messaged him when he was in Sheffield and we went, oh, where are you? Like, where you been drinking? He went, oh, we're just in Wetherspoons. So if you're drinking in a Wetherspoons, then you're getting sacked off pubs now, mate. I'm telling you. Lou, if you're listening...
He hasn't followed the process, has he? You're going to have to get rid of him.
What's he, what, poor man's Milton? Gone, mate. He's gone off pubs now. But yeah, I'm selfishly, I'm thinking League One's done. I'd love to go Sheffield Wednesday again next year. I'd love to go Sunderland. I'd love to go to Derby. I'd love to go to these grounds. But now I'm looking at League Two and thinking, I'm going to Harrogate. I can go to Salford. I can go to Barrow again. Carlisle is one of the best days out you'll ever have in your life.
Well, it'd just be nice to actually play a game of football and be in a league where we can kind of not be, hopefully anyway, but just be a bit more comfortable.
But then we'll know, if we go down, Dan, we'll know if the club has sorted itself out, because if we're struggling again, do you know what I mean? We can't struggle in League Two. We really can't. I can't fathom us dropping out of league and doing a Southend. I really don't want to think about that, but it could happen. Go on then, Stevie.
On the topic of local clubs, Sutton are not looking like they're going up, so they might be in League Two again.
That's true. I didn't factor in Sutton. It's literally round the corner for me.
You done that at your team?
Me, it's your right team around before? The corner.
When you were at Wembley the other day?
No.
Also, I met one of these people the other day when Sutton were playing. Oh, go on, Sutton, I hope you win. I didn't. I wanted them to get battered by Rotherham.
But that's you, isn't it? You're just miserable and grumpy.
No, I hate Sutton. They're a bunch of mugs. They didn't like us when we were coming through the leagues. They thought they were bigger than us and we smashed them. I didn't get that the other day. Oh, go on, Sutton. No, fuck Sutton. I hope they got smashed. I'm well happy that Rotherham scored in the right last seconds.
Wow.
And they were crying. Wow. Anyway. Shall we move on?
Let's move on, mate, quickly before you blow another gasket.
We'll come back and we'll preview that game on Saturday.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing the game on Saturday against the Scum. One game I'm dreading, not because it's there, I can't stand them and I don't really care about them that much, but we're going to get smashed.
Are we still having it where we're not having them cordoned off? Like,
no, they're not
about them just turning up and doing whatever.
They're turning up and doing whatever, and that's going to be very...
That was crazy.
That's going to be very, very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting on the fact that the matter is that they're probably, and I hate to say it, and people don't shoot me down here, they're probably the best team in the league at the moment.
Yeah, they are. There's no doubt. You can hate them, but they are good at the moment, yeah.
And we're one of the worst teams in the league.
What? No. Change that. Change it.
We are the worst team in
Correct.
The league.
Correct.
Crew are worse teams.
Mate, the statistics tell you otherwise, mate.
Right. And if we lose our 4-5-0, you wouldn't be surprised. And then you've got them lot running around our fucking area with their pants down. Take the piss out of us, really. I hate talking about them. Really do. I hate talking about the game. But what do you, Steve? What do you think? What do you think formation wise? How do you think we'll start up?
I'm probably saying I think we should rock a 3-5-2, two up top. But I don't think we will. I think we'll go more 3-4-3 or 3-5-3-5-1. I think is it 3-5-1 or 3-5-1-1? I think it is.
And you've got, we don't there, mate.
I'm the goalie.
Yeah, 3-5-1. So you've only got.
He said 3-5-1-1.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what I meant. 3-5-1-1.
I thought you said 3-5-1. I've got 10 players. I'm taking the piss a little bit.
No, I did it first, but then I was like thinking, that's like, yeah, it's not enough players. So.
Does Hartigan get back in the side for Saturday?
No.
Do you play an extra sort of holding midfielder?
Do you play Chislett?
Well, yeah. I mean,
there's one player we've totally forgot about who's injured is McCormick.
Well,
nothing's
been said,
has
it, either?
But Chislett, the thing I got with it is you have to play Marsh and Woodyard. You have to play Woodyard, unfortunately. He runs around like a headless chicken, but he does stop and playing. He don't do nothing else with the ball, though. Marsh has to play.
I'm not sure, mate, now. I feel we've got to throw a bit of caution to the wind. And if we are going to play wing-backs, I think you've got to play your three and your wide guys. We need two forwards, which is Asau and Robinson, as it is. I think we're gonna have to throw a bit of caution to the wind and play Woodyard, and then I'd play Rodoni and Chislett at the moment.
So I think you're
more aggressive.
I think you have to play Chislett. I think
we might as well. This is it's not a free hit, but we've got to chuck something at it.
There's no such thing as a fucking free hit.
We have got to chuck it. There's no point sitting down and waiting. Whether we lose 1-0 or 3-0 is debate. We get smashed
tread to think what the atmosphere and what it's going to be like around the ground and stuff. It's going to be a nightmare, mate. And I don't want... I like Bowen. I don't think if we get smashed and he starts getting stick or something and it starts going on him.
But he can't get stick after three games.
I saw a stick the other day against Charlton.
How?
Saying,
how can you give a guy a stick after two games?
But, yeah, I just I don't know what I'd do formation-wise.
I like it's minus 23. what would you rather? Play it tight and lose by one or have a go and... It might be all right, but we might lose by three.
To be fair, we've never had a go against them, other than Johnston Pate Trophy. We've
let's
never
have
had
a go at them.
And why? Hopefully, the club will play it up. Stop shitting ourselves. Stop pretending it don't happen. Play the game up. Get everyone fucking rolled up for it, fans and players, and just smash Dean Lewington. And hopefully, we beat them. But I can't see it. I can't see it. And they're all going to be in DMs and everything. It's just going to drive me mad. But
yeah, but just delete them, mate.
I blocked them all last year. The mugs.
I mean, they do all right, you know, from a, by the way, on a budget, don't they? They've got Connor Wickham.
All right, mate. Hey. Leader,
Scott Twine, he's a quality player.
All right, what, you what? You support MK now, say?
No, I can just read the internet.
You want to shut up about them mugs?
Look, it's all right.
I'm not going, and I'm glad I'm not going, because Vegas in 5 weeks, I'd get nicked 100% when we go in Vegas.
We had a chat about this, and like, people can, I'm not particularly a big fan of them, but I'm completely ambivalent now. I'm you know what, you're over there and I'm over here. I don't make it out to be this absolute be all and end all grudge, man. I'm way past it. But I don't see us getting a huge amount out of it. But there were a few positive signs. So, sod it. Let's go for a draw. Let's
what
be
do you
bold
mean?
And say 1-1.
Ambivalent? Don't I mean ambivalent. Like you're a lizard?
What? Ambivalent?
Yeah, I thought it was like a lizard.
What are you talking about?
Anyway.
You mean amphibian, yeah?
Yeah, sorry, I was getting mixed up.
Right, Stevie, do you remember we spoke about GCSEs and how important they are? That's the reason why you've got to go and get your GCSEs.
Yeah,
ambivalent and a lizard.
I never got any, and you don't need them.
Right.
Go on in, Stevie. Stevie, look, it never done me any harm. Stevie, what do you reckon? Go on, your prediction.
Oh, for score?
Yeah.
Not how many we're going to beat up. Not how many we're going to beat up at the end of the game. How many scores?
I'd say 1-0 for the score, but then I can't go watch. I'd end up glassing someone.
Good boy. Yeah, don't do that. That's bad. I'm going 2-0 them, unfortunately. I can't see it any other way. We never play against them. The players always fired.
No,
I can see one of them. I can see George Marshall, one of them, getting sent off because
no,
they're going
to be. I don't see that. I think
Bowen's a totally different manager to what we've had before. I think he'll get enrolled. I think he knows what it means. I know we've said this all before hundreds of times, but yeah, hopefully.
The players who are the only guy who's got any kind of ag is a
Sal. And I can see him getting sent off.
Maybe him, but I don't think anyone else.
See a red card.
One thing that hopefully should be guaranteed is a good atmosphere. Well, I've not done about a good atmosphere, but it'll be loud, it'll be aggressive, it'll be hostile, and maybe that might be.
Well, they've sold out apparently.
It what?
They've sold out.
They have.
Yeah, full allocation.
Take with them then.
1,100, I think.
What behind the 10? Yeah,
they're allowed to go. 1,100 behind a goal.
Well, great. They're going to give us their money. That's absolutely marvellous.
But remember, our stewards. I love our stewards. So we got all the mandem from like...
Sixth form turning up.
We've got all the mandem. So they'll love that. Right. That's our predictions done. And that's another episode done. So thank you very much, boys, for joining me.
Come on, you one balls.
You dons.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.